Okay, we discussed yesterday the concept of Tzorki Rab in public needs. Because there is an independent permission to do melochas and cholamoed if something is public needs. The examples given are fixing the roads, fixing the mikvahs, all the things which are needed for the public may be done on cholamoed. From there we went on to the discussion of the poskim. Would public transports be prepared, therefore, on Chol HaMoed? And the consensus of the poskim is, so that's probably more relevant in Eretz Yisrael, but the consensus unanimously of the poskim is that yes, public transport, you can run and operate the public transport on Chol HaMoed based on these premises, because it's public needs. Yes. From there we went to a different question. Would that also allow taxis to be driven on Chol HaMoed based on that? And then we said, we've got to ask the expert.
Well, I suppose, I assume you're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Because
yeah.
It's not questioned here.
Correct.
Not questioned here. But
correct. Yeah, correct.
Would it be a public liaison in Israel for the Israeli taxi drivers? I suppose it would.
Probably. What did you say? Because you said it depends on what?
Well, if you're getting a cab just as a luxury, there's plenty of bus routes and train routes to go the same way, but you're just doing it because...
Laziness
or elitism or whatever, then it's arguably not necessarily as much of a public need because ultimately you're well covered with public transport. If you're in Israel and you're going to Ramot for Shabbos, and there's 15 minutes to go till the buzzer...
But that's going to be very, very relative then, depends on a person's...
Very, very late. Right. You want an Arab cab driver is perfect, isn't it? Because you can get.
Well, so as a principle, can the taxi? So if you had a taxi company, if you'd run a taxi company besides the other businesses that you may own, you also own a taxi business, and you would you be allowed to run the business operated normally on Chol HaMoed? Yes or no?
I'd argue yes, because like if your cab company is taking Rav Emanuel to Satna for his to see him in from Medrash to Stamford Hill, and there's no other ways of getting there, and it's taking different people to their shirim and to their
then it'd be permitted. So if there's others on the way, which what would you are would you agree with that? Taxis to operate normally because it's a public need. The poskim do distinguish, and they say that perhaps a taxi is not considered a public need, because what did you say yesterday again? What did you say? Why, what was your scholar?
I said in Eretz Yisrael it's probably more a public need because there's so much demand for buses.
Yeah, that itself releases it enables people to socially distance in the buses. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. It remains a machlokes apoiskim. I want to be mitzayin over here and bring an interesting mishtabur, which he brings it really out of. I can't say out of context, but the mishtabur have gotten zayin over here. First wide line. Last remote kosa b'shoyet chuvah. Shoyet chuvah says, "Noagule sadet zorki rabim b'chol hamoed." The custom is based on what we learned now about public needs are permitted in chol hamoed. There is a universal global custom that the Tzorkei Rabim, the public needs, are organized and arranged on Chol HaMoed, such as Lemanois Gaboim, to appoint Gaboim v'Panosim and committees. Committees are appointed. Yeah, committees are appointed, and the yearly, what's called?
AGM
is to take place on Chol HaMoed. Watch out, in Fushim Mishtabu, in the name of the Chayat Shuvah, that's the time to appoint committees. He does add, though, nearly, it appears to me, if there's a requirement, if something has got to be written, such as the minutes of the meetings or other important decisions have got to be written down, which is... Pardon? Okay, yeah. So if things have got to be written down, then lo yichtoiv ksam ashuris, then you've got a problem. As we're going to be seeing later tonight in Mitzvah Shem, there is a problem of writing on Chol HaMoed. So it's going to be a problem to write down the minutes of the meeting. So the suggestion is to not write in regular block writing. This is talking about Lashon HaKodesh. Block writing, which is the you know, the normal writing. Script, that's right, script writing, which is fine. Hoksav Shalon, or in any other format, which is common writing as opposed to specialized, more professional writing. Because of proper writing, block is considered Maase Omen. And he said that would be excluded in the permission. So, Rabbi Yisai, there's a minic, it seems very beautiful. Yeah, script, yeah. Script is Maase Hege. We will be talking. Yeah. We will be talking about this. We will be talking about this later in Kosev. Later, we'll be talking about it. It's a very interesting question. It's a very interesting discussion. I love that discussion. It's an interesting conversation. Why Ksava shows? We'll get to that. But for the moment, let's assume that handwritten formats are considered. it's and as opposed to block writing or more, he's going to be mad. So Rabbi Yisai, the minhag is to have committees. When is the yearly meetings normally? I think don't do this anymore on Sukkot. No,
Chalamot. Every night.
Every night. Yeah.
Two nights.
Yeah. So when generally people don't normally do Chalamot. No, it's come out Chalamot. I don't know. Yeah, I'm saying generally meetings, shul meetings and things like that, elections.
Don't have on Chalamet.
It's not normally done on Chalamet, right? I don't think in this. But
well, people,
yeah.
A lot of people are away. Wouldn't
yeah. So, I did see minutes of meetings in pre-war, pre-Europe, and I did see, it did say Sukkot, where I should gather. It was Chalamet. So, but it seems to have, this minhag seems to have.
About something to do with
Sukkot Rabin. It was the election, but I saw specifically was elections of the committee, yearly elections.
Sure,
no, this was actually in Unstorf in pre-war Europe. Unstorf. Yeah, so whatever, that's what I saw. But Lemaisa, that's it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah that if one wants to know exactly what the correct timing would be, it would be ideally on Chol HaMoed. We continue to see base. See, Beis goes on to the wells and the boiros. The boiros ma'ayna shel rabim. Okay, these public wells. This is, of course, before the plumbing systems were in place, as nowadays. So boiros ma'ayna shel rabim shenofal b'em ofer vonum in iskalkulu. So if you've got wells or water reservoirs which has got ofer avonim, so stones or any other dirt fell into it. It's drinking water really, but you cannot drink from it at this stage. So when it's mutal esaknim, you're allowed to fix it. You're allowed to fix the well, the public well, to enable people to draw water from it. Makes sense, right? Why? Because it's public use. Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't say that, though. Interesting. So perhaps even in a scenario that it isn't. Yeah, interesting. I don't know why. Even if the public doesn't need the water now. So they all have got their buckets and barrels of water at home already. So they don't really need the water now. Since the fixing is not called and considered a Maase Omen, it's permitted. So again, to fix a well is permitted. Avol, but lach boilem boiros mechadosh, but to dig a new well, show my soul, and that requires a bit more expertise. Then there's a distinction. So to dig a new well, not to fix an old one, to dig a new one. Im rabim tzrichim lem ato, if the public needs water now, muta, you have to make a new well. Afilim kibnu benachta memoit, even if this was planned for chalamoit. Even if it's public, and even if there's a great tircha to dig and fix this, it's a big deal. But if the public needs water now, you know how to do it under any circumstances. But if the public doesn't need water now, they shouldn't do it now. Rather, wait for after Yom Tov. Okay. What a private well. You've got a back garden, you've got a private well, and there are also some stones fell in, and it's got to be fixed. Then also then you're not allowed to make a new one. Even if you need them now, you're not allowed to make a new private well. When it's calculated, but if I had a private well which broke, if I need it now, to fix it. If I don't need it now, a private well, and it requires to be fixed, then also the sacrament, I'm not allowed to fix it. But I would, in a private well, be allowed to continue to make the flow of water go back in there, even I don't need it. So if it's only a small kind of understanding, like just sort of a pipe or something which needs to be readjusted or something like that, that would be permitted under any circumstance. So I say, the key aside, the essential point of this Shulchan Aruch is, what is distinguishing between these two elements we need to take into consideration. One question is it public, is it private? Public, everything is permitted. And private is not so posh. So private, it make a distinction as to whether it's required now, it's not required now, and if it's a ma'aseh umen or not. So if it's a new one, there'll be also for private one. If it's an old one, then it's permitted if required now. Okay, that's the assertion with regards to the wells. An interesting question the poskim address over here is interesting, very interesting question. Imagine a school. It's probably a better example even than a shul. A school which has to have some building works done. And of course, in order to avoid it disturbing, you know, any building work disrupts the learning and the regular day-to-day running of a school. So would it be permitted or not to plan the renovation and the building works dafka on Chol HaMoed in order to avoid disturbances after Yom Tov? Say you've got to change something in a school. It happens. It's a common shaila. You've got to do some plumbing work, some electricity, and you know that generally, it can only be done between 9 and 5 when it's inevitably going to be school and inevitably it disturbs the learning. Would you therefore be able to plan this and do the building work specifically on Chol HaMoed?
If
you're going to
disturb the education of the children by doing it after the Yom Tov, I mean, if you were to do it after Yom Tov, then you know, then I'm sorry, we'll have to do, even if it's, we'll have to Zoom or whatever it is a week after, then maybe it would be better to do it Chol HaMoed, no?
You say that it's better to do Chol HaMoed. Although we understand the Shaila, that to plan something for Chol HaMoed, we've spoken countless times, to plan works and Chol HaMoed is the worst. And that's what we really were doing over here. What do you, Taina? Why? Based on what? It can be done, it just causes disruption. So that's... Yeah, so what would be a Makoyah to Paskin that? It's okay, Rabbi, and that's... So the Makoyah, it is permitted, the poskim can allow it. Ah, interesting. You're saying it's not Tzorchei HaGuf.
Is Tzorchei HaGuf the equivalent to Tzorchei HaRabim?
No. We said, the Ramah says, in Ramah in Sif, yesterday, Sif Aleph, that it was distinguishing between Tzorchei HaRabim as opposed to he was distinguishing between Tzorchei HaGuf, physical needs, and Tzorchei HaRabim, public needs, and in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah explicitly excluded yesterday Beis HaKnesses as a shul. So you're saying that Lichoyre should be in the category of a shul. It's an interesting question.
It's not sort of guf in any way.
The poskim allow it. It's interesting. I don't know your question. It's a fascinating question. I don't know the answer. The man said the poskim called it Tzorchei HaRabim. And they said even a ma'aseh umen is permitted on Tzorchei HaRabim. And we learned just now to plan something specifically is permitted as well if it's Tzorchei HaRabim. So they compare to that. I like your question very much. Herr Feingold wants to know why is it different than the shul, which is also as well because it's not considered Tzorchei HaGuf. Maybe kids out of the house is considered Tzorchei HaGuf.
It's also easier to prove loss, isn't it? If there's other shuls in the area, if there's no other shul and you're building a shul because you need a space and less, if there's dozens of other shuls in the area, they won't all be as big as Koyaka, most will be tiny, but if there are dozens of other shuls in the area, right, then people could daven and learn and not somewhere else. But if, it's, if, if, if the school at the site is the only place where the children can learn, then there's double overed for the children.
For the learning.
Does double overed apply to
yeah.
the learning?
Oh, very good question. Very good question. I think that might be a correct valid point.
There's no minion. I feel if there's no minion, you're going to miss out on the minion.
Yeah, but could be, I hear, but the point may be, and I think I did see that the bittul Torah is considered double overed, which is a concept we haven't come across before. We always saw Dava Ovid being a very, very literally financial loss. Who were being mechadish? Who were being mechadish? That learning, the boys being out of the learning for a couple of days or for a week, that is also considered Dava Ovid, which is a strong argument. I could hear that, but it's a new concept because we never actually came across Dava Ovid being anything beyond the financial.
On that, because you can say that let's say that in this school, the parents, some of the parents are balabatim. They're not all in full time learning. Then it's a clear double argument if kids are not in school. I can tell you because that's what's happening now. Our only potential people who are in business or who are working, relying on daylight hours to work, there's clearly a double argument if kids are not in school because it's happening right now.
Right.
So
saying there is an indirect double argument.
It's definitely a double argument if a school.
Right.
But it's not posh to say there's something double. So that's without having to rely on the principle that double argument applies to
financial. Interesting. Yeah. Any opinions over here on the Zoom? What do you think? Building a shul on Chol HaMoed. Excuse me. Building a school on Chol HaMoed. Any opinions over Zoom? I'm afraid I can't clarify it 100% sharply because I'm struggling fully to understand it. It seems to be indicating, it seems to be referring to physical needs. So the examples given, which are Tzorkei Rabim, is fixing the roads, to pinpoint where the kohanim may not go, to fix the mikvahs, as opposed to the building of the shul.
Again, mikvah, without mikvah, you can't be able to. That's an ovid, isn't it? Because if the people can't get to the mikvah, then people can't conduct their life, will they? You know? So,
why is it so okay? But why? So, what are you saying? What's not so okay, Aguf? A school is not so okay, Aguf.
It's not in the same way. So, it's not in the same way as a mikvah is, because a mikvah really is
so okay, Aguf, yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Okay, it's a question. Let me say, I very much value your question. I very much value your question.
Light here from
the eight. Perhaps that would be a comparison then, to the school, which is, yeah. Very interesting, very interesting. Okay, Rabbi Said, it's I think it's a very interesting question. That allows us to start with Tov Kuf Mem Hei. So that's really important discussion over here about writing on Chol HaMoed. Very interesting. What about writing on Chol HaMoed? Also, Lichtov Chol HaMoed, Shulchan Aruch tells us, you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Okay, you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Even to correct, Rabbi said, we've got to remember, and it's going to make this learning of the Shulchan Aruch much clearer and easier. How do people write? When we talk about writing, how do people write? How do people write? Until I just read recently about the invention of the what is it called, the ball pens? Is that what it's called? It's quite a recent invention. When was this invented? This,
the ballpoint,
and this, no, much less.
Sixties. The
big is like in maybe 1970s or something. 60s, 70s, right? Now I was in school not such a long time ago. I was brought up. When I was in Switzerland, it was they're very traditional in that sense, in many senses, but they're very traditional. I was still brought up. With a fountain pen. They were called something else, but it was the metal thing, and we're trained in, and it was very tough, because when, like, for I remember in year three or in year two or year three, We had to go, and we had these ink
cartridges
yeah, stuck in.
No,
that's my mother. But I was really past that generation, and we had to. And it was a business, and we had training in how to do this. You also remember using it, right? And we had hours and hours and hours, hours of exactly every letter had to be trained because you had to go a certain direction. It's got to be a certain direction. It spills everywhere and it spritzes like anything if you get it wrong. And I remember I got once punished. I was a good boy on the whole. I was a good boy on the whole. I tried to be. But I was punished once because it didn't do it right and it went spritzing. Stains don't go off. I got told off as well. Stains don't go off. And then you've got the it was like a special thing.
Blotting paper
and everything, right? Okay, that's my trauma, which is a few years older, but this is my trauma. So this must be in the 1980s. Now, if you go and before that, when we're talking about writing, we're not talking about this. We're not talking about the fact that it was literally the quilt, and it was literally, yeah, no, this is right. And it was a skill and expertise required. And the reason why we have to point this out is because without that, we're going to fail to understand what Shulchan is talking about. And we're going to have to address at all times, is there a difference nowadays or not? Because writing required a skill. And writing was a melacha. And it's not a mass. We're going to get to that. But it's pashtus is it a mass umen mass idea to write?
What about rabbi on the computer?
We'll get to that. I will absolutely need to get to that. It's a very fascinating discussion. We'll get to that in Mitzvah. I want to talk about it. Mitzvah Shem. So yeah. So I want to say that it comes to me. We've got the presumption has to be that writing is a melachas umen. Do you agree with that?
It depends on how much you've done with that. By the general people.
No? Why is that?
Frequency, I think. Frequency. Doing it, it's not woman. If it's
okay. Brad, what do you say? Why do you say that it's? Why would you say that it's not my woman?
Certainly not my woman, in my view, because...
Did you see my handwriting, perhaps? Maybe that's why you're saying it.
Every 5-year-old child knows how to write already. So how can you say
it's a fascinating point. I very much value your point. It's fascinating. He said, well, look around. Every 5-year-old child knows how to hold a pen and write. It's such a good point. It's really, really interesting. And Emma says that I saw the poets came addressing that. The question is, does that really qualify into my soulman? Just because maybe you could argue, and I'm not saying I'm right. But maybe you can argue that nowadays we live in a generation of well-educated, of extremely well-educated children, and we therefore have to, we're teaching these skills already at a very young age. It doesn't mean that it's not melech zomen. It may be a melech zomen that we are educating our children at a very young age. So it is a question, but I appreciate it. But you could argue back and say, no, it's not true. He, by definition, cannot be a ma'aseh umen. If a 5-year-old is capable of doing it.
The definition of ma'aseh umen is something that most people can't do because you require...
Because you need his expertise. And
if the general populace can all do it...
It can, by definition, it can't be melech zomen.
Umnus means specific expertise.
Yeah.
So the fact that everyone does it...
Is it right, okay. Okay, so you know what? Let's leave this question away until we get to Sif Vav, because we will get it a bit clear, Mitzvah Shem. But at this point, we were starting Sif Aleph, and we are... And the Shulchan Aruch tells also lichtav b'chol ha'moed. I think it's fair to say that since we're talking about not the writing, our contemporary styles of writing, we're talking about writing with a feather and ink, like a cipher writes. I think in that instance, I think we can all agree that for sure it is considered a ma'aseh umen, for sure. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. So without even going into the discussion as to whether contemporary writing is melech zomen or not, we can still comprehend very well Sif Aleph. Are you agreeing with that, Brad?
Yeah.
So also lichtoy b'chol ha'moed afilu lehagia koisachas b'sefer also. Even fixing one particular letter in a sefer is also. So we have to, in our minds, differentiate between contemporary writing and old-fashioned writing, because that was also even lehagia to correct one letter in a sefer is also. Mind you, what kind of sefer are we talking about over here? What kind of sefer are we talking about? You can correct even one letter. What sefer are we talking about? Is it necessarily a sefer Torah or lav dafka?
If you're you can correct one letter, what if you have to
correct? Even correcting one letter is also, because it's a, even correcting one letter is also. Does that refer to a Sefer Torah? And what about if it's your telephone book? Old-fashioned telephone book, which is written by a Sefer Torah. Yeah? It's not Tzorich HaMoed. Okay, so you're right. The Ramah does tell us, for the Tzorich Rabbim, yesh oisim kol she'en a Tzorich HaMoed v'yesh matirin. So if it's a Tzorich Rabbim, it's going to be permitted. If it's not a Tzorich Rabbim, but it is, and it's not a Tzorich HaMoed either, then there's machlokes. You know, we'll discuss this a little bit further tomorrow, Shem. But let's just summarize what we covered this evening. So we spoke about a little. We spoke about the Mishnah Berurah that tells us the minhag is to have the committee and the elections and the meetings to be taking place on Chol HaMoed, not before and not after, but on Chol HaMoed. We also spoke about the wells, and we distinguished over here between Rabbim. If it's the wells which are public needs, you're allowed to fix them. You're even allowed to time it for Chol HaMoed. So public needs are permitted to be done. And however, the private ones not. We also differentiated a little bit as to whether there are new ones, you're trying to make a new well or just fixing an old one. And then we spoke about Koisiv as well, and we learned that Koisiv is a melocha, which is also in Chol HaMoed. Even correcting one letter in principle is also. But much more on this Simon Shem over the Simon and throughout Simon Tov Kuf Memei. We'll discuss this in greater detail tomorrow. Shem, I wish you a very good evening indeed.